personally as well. So we've got three activities we're going to do. One personally, one you as a leader, and then one as an organization. What we'll be doing in these activities are prioritizing strategic objectives. The first thing I'm going to do is walk you through my own personal strategic objectives for 2012 and how I use the formula to prioritize. And then we'll give you about 15 minutes to walk to do a personal one, and we would like for people to volunteer and come up and share that. And then we'll go from there. Is that clear? Okay. This has really helped me in my personal life as well as in the department. And I was sharing with Pastor how Eric and I sat down and did a SWOT analysis of our budget. And we have budget meetings on Eric is my husband. And we have my husband. Thank you. That sounds good. But And we have meetings, family meetings, and some of the times, depending on the topic, just being transparent, depending on the topic, I can get a little nervous, and the meeting can go south. And so we did a SWOT analysis before we had the meeting, honestly, a real-life SWOT analysis. What are some of the strengths of our meetings? And the strength is that we do have meetings. You know, a lot of people don't talk things through. So we have meetings. What were some of the weaknesses? And the weaknesses, some of the weaknesses was fear. And it is fear for me, depending on the topic. So we did a SWOT analysis. And this particular family meeting was a budget. So we did the SWOT analysis. And it really, 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 really helped with the meeting. Because usually when we do a budget meeting, 15 minutes into it, it's over. It's over for me. I just can't do it because he'll say something like, "Did you spend that back? And you got a tip in his card?" I'm like, "What are you looking at? I went back last October, and it looks like you got a tip in the car." I'm like, "This 2012, brother. We're not looking at that." But anyway, you know, it always just goes south because he want to know every dime that we spend. So the SWOT analysis really helped, and I'm hoping that you're using it in your personal life because we finished the budget meeting. Only one time he had to pray in tongues, just one. And just one. We finished it. But I believe it was, all jokes aside, I believe it was from doing the SWOT analysis, helping us to identify what we're good at, what is our weakness, and trying to eliminate that. And so we did the SWOT analysis also for our personal lives. And so I'm going to give the example, and then we'll do one together. I mean, you'll do one separately. It's okay. Well, you have it. Honestly, you have it with you. It's the first example on your sheet. But I was just going to walk you through it. If you can pull that up a little bit, maybe. Okay. Well, you have it. You have it on your sheet. There were, if you want to. Does this help everybody? Okay. Well, we came up with some personal strategic objectives for the year. And our strategic objectives, and we did do a SWOT analysis. We want to save for a vacation for Italy. We want to attend a marriage seminar. We want to volunteer for a shelter quarterly. Both of us want to lose weight. And I want to start a blog this year. And so all of those are great strategic objectives, but we had to really use this formula to try to prioritize what was most important. Now, for us, volunteer for a shelter quarterly was important because when we were praying about 2012, God told us to do some more outreach services. And so we decided that we would do quarterly, we're going to volunteer to shelter. So that really rose to number one, using that formula, using that grid. Really, God told us he wanted us to get involved more with outreach. And so we're going to do that. The next thing was the blog. Now, the blog is really something that I want to do. And one of the questions, or some of the questions that we ask, is can I give this the time that it really needs? Because that's a lot of writing. And so am I really going to be able to give it the time it needs? How important is it to me as an individual? How important is a blog? It's very important to me. When we were talking about it, it's something that I've wanted to do for a few years. People have always told me how good of a writer I am, and I write every day. It's the way that I wind down. A lot of people exercise. I like to write. Well, this is really important to me, and so that's why it rose to number two. I can give it the time it needs because what I'm going to do is just I've got the topic, and I've already done the research on how to start a blog, and so I really do have the time to give it what it needs. And Eric has agreed that this is the particular time, because we're going to use some of our personal time that we spend together, but we had to give some of that up. And so he's agreed to let that be number two. So I'm going to start a blog this year. The next one is a marriage seminar. And people might say, well, why isn't that first? But when we were looking at the grid from the marriage seminar, well, it's important. But we do a lot of things to enhance and enrich our marriage. That's just one of the things that we want to do. We've already got some things in place that we're doing, so it didn't rise really high, but we looked at the viability of it because is it going to help us in the long run? And yes, it really is going to help our marriage short term and long term. So that was number three. Both of us do want to lose weight. Our infrastructure is not what it needs to be, and so we need to lose weight in that area, but neither one of us are overweight. We're not overweight. We're healthy. Our health isn't compromised. Are we satisfied? Not really, but we could stay here and not gain another pound, and we would be okay. And so that's why that's number four. And then number five, vacation to Italy. That's very important, but it's five because we know realistically speaking, it's very expensive. And so we're not going to be able to go this year. I was thinking about a guy who told me when he went to the south of France, and he had about $3,000 to shop. And so he went to the south of France, and he went in this shoe store, and he said, he laid $3,000 on the counter. He said, tell me when I can stop. I want to buy everything in here that I can, a shoe store. Tell me when I can stop. And so he laid the $3,000 on the counter, real life story, and he picked up one pair of shoes, and the man said, you can stop. Now, it was just one pair of shoes. Now, when we go to Italy, I want to stay where I want to stay. I want to be able to eat what I want to eat. I want to be able to buy what I want to buy. And so we know realistically we can't do that this year. And so we really did use this grid to prioritize the formula that Pastor was talking about. And it really helped us. So we know where we have to focus for 2012. I just want to share a story, too, about that because vacations are very important. And Eric and I went to New Orleans last year. He probably would get me if I said this. But we went to New Orleans last year. It ain't that deep. We stayed at a real, real nice hotel. And we went to, because, you know, we budget everything. We went to this restaurant. Now, we get in the restaurant, and when we look, we're like, uh-oh, because it was white linen, white table. I mean, it was nice. We started looking at the people, and Eric said, I think we better leave. And I'm like, I'm not backstroking out of here because I'm not about to be embarrassed. People already see us in here. This is what I'm thinking. If we walk out, they know we don't have the money. Let's just get some salads or something. And true story, I said, let's just get some salads or something because we were the only people in there. So anyway, I'm like, oh, Jesus. We sat down. We was praying the whole time. Then we got the menu. No prices on the menu. Oh, Jesus. Eric said, Melinda, let's go. I said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. So we started looking for salads. And I said, I'm just going to get a salad, and you get a salad. He said, well, the people know if we're in here getting salads, they already know we're not going to have any money. We can't just get salads. But, y'all, we were doing this. in the thing. And so we ended up getting just everything. He said, forget it. Let's just get everything. So we got an appetizer. We got our meal. Well, we got an appetizer. We got salads. We got our meal. We got a dessert. It took us a little while to pay it off. Well, we got that bill, Lord have mercy. So we're not going to Italy and have to eat like that. We're gonna be able to eat. That bill was almost $600 for a meal. So we definitely, because it was no prices on there. Now, if I had known it was $600, we wouldn't have done it. But it was very good. It was very good. So anyway, just wanted to share that. So that's why the vacation to Italy is last. But y'all, that's nothing for most people, right? That's nothing for most people. But does that help you as you're going to be now doing your own personal strategic objectives? Does that help you? Okay, remember just some of the things that Pastor talked about. You have to limit it 3 to 5. It's not a rule, but it's very important. If you want to use your SWOT analysis from last week, you can do that, or you may have other strategic objectives. But if you could do like 3 to 5 and then use that formula that he did to prioritize, we'll give you about 10 minutes to do that, and then we'd like to take volunteers. Yes, sir. The first one is the personal example. If you could do just a personal from your personal life. Yes.
The left-hand column, is that just for brainstorming? And then the right-hand column is the
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're going to do the personal one first. And then we're going to have some volunteers come up. The second activity will be you doing it as a leader. And then the last activity will be an organizational one. We're going to do the personal one first, and then we're going to ask for volunteers to come up and share. And then the next activity we will do is the one as a leader. We want to do the personal one first just for everybody to get an opportunity to fill it out. And then we'll do the second one, which is the leader. We'll have somebody come up and share. And then the last one we'll do together as an organization. Will we be turning these in so we'll know how to write? Will we be turning these in? All right, we would like to take volunteers. If you could come up and just share your strategic objectives. Okay, Tiffany, and how you use the formula to prioritize.
This is my one statement for the meeting. All right, do I give... in order, prioritize first?
Your strategic objectives first and then.
Okay. So I had changing eating habits, spend more time in the Word, studying more time in the Word, build savings back up, pay off credit card, and lose 10 pounds by May. So my first one was spend more time studying in the Word. My second one was change my eating habits. The third one is to build my savings back up. The fourth one is to pay off my credit card. And then my fifth one is to lose 10 pounds by May.
Okay. Can you kind of...
Why?
Yeah.
The first one is I spend time in the Word, but I don't do it enough. So I want to try to at least get, like, 30 minutes in every day. So that's how I'm going to do that one. And then number two, the reason why I said number two is I eventually want to lose weight. But if I can change the way I eat, then I know I will lose weight because I exercise, but my eating is not where it should be right now. And then number three, when I went to Miami, I had a good time. So my savings went away as well, so I need to build that one back up. So that is a priority because when I do need money, I can always pull from my savings and then pay off my credit card. Because of Miami as well, my credit card is a little bit more than what it should be. So by the time I get through saving and paying some of it off, then my credit card will eventually be paid off. And then lose 10 pounds by May because that's a good amount of time to lose 10 pounds. And so that's one of the goals that I want to do. So that's why.
Thank you. And you could see what was maybe not a mandate, but real high on the priority list was making that quiet time with God a priority. And then I like the way she said she wanted to lose weight, but high on the priority was changing the eating habits, which means that if you do that, you will lose the weight. Anybody else want to come up and share? Michelle, and then Erica, and then we'll move to the next one. And when you share your how you came up, the formula.
Okay, my five strategic objectives are to properly allocate study time for school, teach God more to my son. He see me doing it, but I'm not making him do it, so to instill more of it in him, create more personal time with my husband, continue to strengthen my relationship with God, and to look into college funds for my children. When I prioritize it, my first one is to continue to strengthen my relationship with God. I do have study time, but I want it to be more so that I'm not doing it just to do, you know, I want to get more from it. I want to grow more. So I just want to continue to strengthen it. Initially for number two, I had create more personal time with my husband, but I bumped that down one and moved up looking to college funds. So for my second one, I have looking to college funds for my children.
See, your husband's not in here.
For number three, I had create more personal time with my husband. Four, teach God to my son. And five, properly allocate study time for school. The way I prioritize, continue to strengthen my relationship with God. If I have a strong relationship with God and I'm following his will in everything I do, he will make everything more easier and he will give me insight on how to address everything else. Looking to college funds, I was thinking about viability. If I start younger with my kids, then by the time they're older, they will have more available than if I start when they're teenagers. So I need to start early. Create more time with my husband. It's third, just because it's just next in line. I just create more personal time. Now we have time together. We have occasional date nights, but just more time with us, just talking more and just doing more stuff in the Word. Teach God to my son. I have that after create more time with my husband because if we're on one accord and we're doing it together, then together we can teach it to my son and he can see mom and dad doing it as well as us helping him to start to establish his relationship and grow. And then properly allocate study time, just fail and last.
Is the formula really helping? Okay.
Hi, team. My name's Erica. My personal strategic objectives, vacation for the summer, prepare our nursery, fix home projects, you know, the exterior home issues or whatever, buy more furniture for my home, and to lose weight. And ironically, Walter's my husband, we were discussing all this last night. And so that's why this was easy for me, because we had already did it last night. So anyway, we did it. I put prepare nursery first because the baby's coming. So it's like, well, that's just number one. we kind of debated that because for him, fixing the home projects was number one because we had a woodpecker that just loved our chimney. And he has done some damage, so he wants to get that fixed first. So anyway, so just sitting over here thinking he's going to be excited when I get home, I reversed it, and I have fixed home projects first, because the longer it goes on, the more expensive it's going to be to fix, and there's going to be less money for me to put into the nursery. So anyway, so fix home projects first is the priority. Prepare the nursery is my second priority. Third, want to lose weight. Unlike Melinda and Eric, Walter and I both need to lose weight. But we want to do it together. So he doesn't want to start now. We're going to wait till after I have the baby, and then we're going to do a track together. So That's number three. And then I want to buy furniture for my house. And it's just not, I have some furniture, but I just want some more furniture, so it's not that big of a priority. Vacation for the summer. I always want our kids to go on vacation for the summer, and so we're just trying to work that out, so they came in last.
Great job. We do have to move on to leadership, but Chandra. Okay, Chandra. Yay, Chandra. Okay.
Okay, I only have three. Okay, I got eat healthier, work out more physically, and do more brain training. And the way I prioritized it is eat healthier, because I figure if I eat, then I'm ready to do the brain training. And then after I do the brain training between the eating, then I'll be ready to work out. So that's the way I did it. Brain training is learning different things to improve memory and grow. Okay, that's it.
Excellent. Oh. Okay. Okay, just to kind of, before we move on to the next one, did that formula help you in the prioritization of your strategic objectives? Okay. Did you, Ms. Adele, it didn't help you? No, I asked you a question. Did it help you? Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and move to the next one then on leadership. We're all leaders, and, you know, that's really high on the priority list for us as an organization. Pastor wants to strengthen our leadership skills, and that's why we're meeting biweekly. And that's why we thought it would be great to do strategic objectives in terms of our leadership skills. So if at this time, and it doesn't have to be five, it could be three, but if at this time we could come up with three things that we want to do that's important for us as leaders to strengthen our leadership skills or to enhance our leadership. And hopefully we're talking about those things and thinking about those things, whether it be attending a workshop, reading a book, but just something to help us to enhance our leadership skills. And then using that same formula to prioritize what's really critical. And we'll take it volunteers. Yes, sir. Oh, you ready? Oh, is everybody ready? Okay, we'll take you first, Kevin. Let's give everybody about 10 minutes to do that, and then we'll take volunteers. Kevin, when you're sharing, can you go through the formula and kind of tell us how you use the formula to come up with your priorities? Okay.
Giving honor to God, Pastor. No, I'm just kidding. just kidding. Just a little humor. well, that's why I'm getting that out the way now. Okay, as a leader, it's interesting. This started probably actually about 3 weeks ago, Linda. We wanted to do some things in my team to really begin to take us to the next level. So I set some goals that I wanted to do as a leader. One of those is building the skill set of my team. The other thing I wanted to do was tie in a spiritual component with execution or with what we do. I wanted to evaluate the input from the team because, of course, when you're the leader, you can't see everything because you're leading. But also wanted to reduce errors in execution. So I looked at each one and determined if there were any that would tie into any others, which is something that I found would help in regard. So the order I came up with was evaluate the input from the team so I would know what their needs were and be able to work on that. The next thing was to tie in a spiritual component. And what I'm doing is on your messages, when we come in before rehearsal, I will listen to if there's a point that they got out of the message, then we kind of briefly talk about that. The next thing was to build a skill set of the team. If there's areas that they want to grow up in or areas they want to advance or develop, then I would help to do that. in doing that, we would end up reducing errors in execution. So building the skill set actually tied into reducing errors. So that's how I applied the formula.
Okay, we have any other volunteers? Rachel and then Michael K.
Good morning, I'm Rachel Dion Holt, birth date January 24th, 1970, 42 years old today, praise the Lord. 42.
You're 42?
Mm-hmm. Look, 22. Amen. Okay, here are my leadership. I have recruit and leverage volunteers, delegate tasks, and implement the leadership lessons. Prioritize, they are implement the leadership lessons. I chose that one based on the importance and my satisfaction level with where I currently am. On number two, I put delegate task. That again is my satisfaction level. I'm just kind of used to doing everything myself. So when I looked at that, it's important for me to leverage or to implement the leadership lessons so that I can be comfortable with delegating tasks. And then number three was leverage and recruit volunteers. I chose that one because of importance to the organization, my satisfaction, and then the viability of it. So those are my three.
Good morning, team. Good morning. Michael K. Moore. My five objectives, my five leadership objectives were to study and implement Pastor's Leadership Manual, to become a better communicator, number three, to become more direct and to the point when given instructions or speaking, to connect more to our membership, and to number five, learn more about our individual employees. The way that I prioritized them was, number one was to study and implement Pastor's Leadership Manual, and that was number one for obvious reasons. But primarily using the formula is critical to him and it's critical to the organization that we get that I get that, so that's why that rose to number one. The other four were prioritized based on the satisfaction. I'm not satisfied with where I am with some of these. Number two was to become a better communicator. Melina has given me some insight into why that's important to connect with people when you speak, how to improve with that. And so I thought that some of the other ones, if you're a better communicator, you can engage better with people. Number three was to connect more to the membership. That was satisfaction, not satisfied with where I am, but that's also critical per pastor to the organization. To learn more about you all as employees, because we work day to day together, and then to become more direct and to the point, that's satisfaction as well, because I've gotten some feedback that I need to make some adjustments in that area and want to do better with it.
Very good, very good. Did anybody else want to share another one? Oh, Tamarca, okay. And then we'll move on to the next activity. Yay.
Okay. I'm Tamarca, and the strategic objectives were, for me as a leader, I put enhance IT skills, improve work environment, become more engaging, and teach others. For prioritizing, I put become more engaging. I have been told in the past I appear not to be as engaging or have a friendly face, but I'm very sociable. If you really know me, you know I talk a whole lot, okay? But that was one, the way I can get to people if I become more engaging. Number two, enhance the IT skills. I need to improve. Technology is changing rapidly day by day. Once I learn the IT skills, I can improve my work environment. I can be able to upgrade, do things, keep up with technology, and then four, teach others. Once I have all the information and knowledge, I can share it with other people.
Good. We did these activities because we started off with the personal and leader because we thought those might be easier, and it's something that you have to take ownership in doing. The formula that Pastor gave us is not, we don't have to go through all six of those questions, but it's a guideline just to help us as we prioritize, because if we don't have a formula, everything becomes important. And so you have to have a formula. And there may be other questions that you can add to this as you're prioritizing. But we wanted to make sure that we gave you something that was relevant, something that you could take home and use it outside of the organization as well. The last activity we're going to do is an organizational strategic objectives. Now, we already know that we have our strategic objectives for the year, but this is just for us to do together as a group. And Stephanie is going to come up and guide us through that. Yay, Stephanie. Yay.
If you all would do me a favor and turn to page 6 in your books. This is where the formula is, and so I want us to put our eyes on this as we go through this particular example. Unlike the personal and the leadership examples, those were kind of internally based. This will be all of us gathering our opinions together to look at this as leaders. So now we know we're leaders. We have our strategies for ourselves. So now as a leadership forum, we're going to come up with how to prioritize our objectives. And there are a few disclaimers. Okay, this is a fictitious example, number one. Number two, these particular objectives were randomly selected. There's no particular order or method to our madness on that. Number three, we're going to assume that the first one in our formula, the mandate from God, we're going to assume that we've already placed that as number one, okay? We're also going to assume that our infrastructure is sound, okay? You with me? All right, so let's look at what we have. This is the last example on your page, and these are not in order. We're going to order them together as an organization, as a leadership forum. So the first bullet is the unified worship experience. I hope everyone's familiar. Leadership development, community outreach, adding more Sunday services, and then... Okay. Well, for those that are unfamiliar, the unified worship experience is our way to collectively unify what we do in our worship services on Sunday. So every piece, not only starting with the sermon, but also with the if we have any extras, such as the dance, such as the music, such as if there's the way the greeters present themselves from the parking lot, every single thing we do on that Sunday to unify it around a particular goal for our people. And the theme may change, but the goal is the same, to have a unified... I'm sorry. Okay, so are we all clear on that now?
Anything you'd like to add, Mike?
No. Just a service that's coordinated from the beginning to the end, from the parking lot to when congregants come in to when they leave, a service that's been thought through, planned ahead of time, flows, and works in concert.
Monitors and everything connected to it.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. So that's the unified worship experience here at Faith Chapel. Next is leadership development, and what that is us here at Faith Chapel creating a culture of leadership. For example, this particular meeting we're in, and that's just one component of it, but leadership development. Community outreach, this is Faith Chapel's face to the community, how we engage those that may not necessarily be connected with us, but how we do connect them, how we do touch them and show that we're concerned about them. adding more Sunday services. Currently, we have one on Sunday, but we eventually are going to have four. So what does that look like? The last one, live streaming our services. Currently, Bible study is live streamed, and hopefully one day we want to include our Sunday services and other things. So these are the five strategic objectives at this time that we're going to look at for this example. Okay. All right, so assuming that the mandate from God has already been chosen, so let's talk through this as a group. The very second question talks about importance to the organization. Does anyone want to comment on which you think should be number one after the mandate from God? Mr. Hill? Leadership development. Okay, can you clarify your reasoning to the group? All right, Mr. Hill says in order for us to do the other things we want to do, we have to have leaders who are developed to do it. Does anyone have an opposing view? Okay. The disclaimer is that the infrastructure is already there. Okay. All right, we have two proponents for leadership not being number one because they say if our infrastructure is sound, we have that. I have another comment.
You know the
leadership development will be lower as a priority.
Yeah, that's all right.
No, I think the goal of the exercise was a lot of times when you look at things, you look at it from one perspective. But from an organizational standpoint, how would you view it? And then why would you view it that way? Maybe the comment about infrastructure may have threw off a little bit. Let's just embrace everything here. Let's just embrace this right here. And then, because even with this, people have different ideas about what should be more important than what, and that was the whole purpose to kind of get some feedback.
Okay, Ms. Blaylock? Okay, we have a couple of proponents for leadership development being at the top. Do I have any other points of view? Yeah, right now we're trying to determine, based on our formula, which one us as a leadership decide should be number one for Faith Chapel. Mr. McCall?
Still work on leadership development and everything else, but if we get the
service together first, which is the product of what everybody sees. We get that in order first, and then, you know, still make use of developing our own process.
Okay.
I'm not debating.
Okay.
The reason it would take leadership to run the Unified Worship Experience, so you want the development of the leaders in place to execute Unified Worship, because it's going to take leaders to do that. So I would think that the leadership would go above Unified.
All right, Cortland.
See you develop in leadership. It's a process. They're not going to say, last year he was terrible, 5 years he's great. But the Unified Worship Experience, that's a quick, visible win. So I would put that in leadership.
Okay.
I would say the leadership needs to be first, because the assumption that it's not necessarily true that you're saying that the leadership is not good just because you're trying to develop leaders. If you put Unified Worship Service first, and let's say you have a great, spectacular service, and all of a sudden all these people come, you don't have an infrastructure of leaders to expand on carrying the weight of the additional people that come in. Leadership is not just about developing better leaders. It's also about expanding your leadership base,
right,
so that you can actually cover more space, carry more infrastructure for people coming in and being able to do more. So if you don't have people in place and you have great worship service, all these people coming in and all these people join the church, and you don't have the leadership infrastructure to carry it, you're just going to waste the opportunity that you would have had.
All right. At this time, we have very convincing views for both the Unified Worship Experience or the leadership development being number one. So at this time, as leaders, I want us to take a tally. We have people on both sides of the fence, and we have heard very strong and convincing arguments for both. So are all in favor of leadership development being our first priority for this example? Okay, this looks like the majority, but all for Unified Worship? Okay, so at this time, for our particular example here, we've heard the cases for leadership development. All right, now we have to go to number two. Okay, are we in agreement that the Unified Worship Experience should be our second priority? Okay, my one no, Mr. Kirkpatrick, if you'll expound on your reasoning.
The reason I say community outreach should be the second is because it's the community that we're trying to reach, and they're going to come in and enjoy the Unified Worship Experience. If we don't reach out to that community, the only people we're going to enjoy the Unified Worship Experience is us.
Okay, Ms. Houston? Ms. Coleman?
I'm kind of on Lorenzo's bent, but I'm from a whole different perspective. And this is not a knock against the Unified Worship Experience. I'm not in those meetings at all, and I understood what you just said and trying to explain what is the Unified Worship Experience. But I see myself as the next congregant coming in, since I'm not on the inside working on it. I don't really see a difference. So is it unified because we know it's unified and we're working on it, but do the congregants really feel or see a difference? And so that has to be, we can't assume it's important because we're doing it. If it's not affecting the people that we're trying to do it for, then it's not. And so from that perspective, I can't say it's number two. Because I don't really see it. So I don't know.
But remember, it's a goal. It's not something you've achieved. It's an objective. It's something you're trying to accomplish. You wouldn't see it.
But it's something that we're working on, correct? I mean, we're meeting and we're doing things.
Yeah.
Mr. Harrison.
I view the unified worship experience as our product, and perfecting the product, and community outreach as our customers. And I think that we have to have the perfect product, and then our customers will come based on our product. So that's why I put unified worship experience at number two.
Okay. Any other comments, suggestions? So number two is going to be unified worship experience. And you can note these on your form if you like. All right, so on our formula on page six, we know our directive from God per this example. We have decided what's more important. So are we satisfied with our current condition? As we look down to see what should be three, four, five, who wants to comment first about what do you think should be next in line? Mr. Macon. Okay, Ms. Miriam.
You could also use the same argument for adding additional Sunday services because, you know, you have to look at satisfaction. Are there a lot of people who may have different types of schedules and they can't attend just one service? And we have vision partners who, you know, if they're working that Sunday, they can't attend Sunday service. They would have the option of being able to attend service and work as well, possibly.
Any other comments, Ms. Ann? Ms. Kruger?
Looking at it from two aspects. Number one is the question about timing and is what's the right time. And live streaming is something we already have set up for Wednesday, so it doesn't seem like it would take that much time maybe or resources to actually implement that first. And I think that it would affect. There's a whole lot of people that I know that listen to Pastor Mike. You know, whenever they can get a CD or a tape from me, they come and get it. But they will not travel from where I am to here, or they're Caucasian and they're not comfortable. And so if we could live stream, they could see, you know, and hear the messages and perhaps open the doors that if they will get hungrier to actually be in the presence.
Okay. I think I saw Ms. Gordon's hand first. Okay, Ms. Walker?
And live stream may debug some of the myths that people have about Faith Chapel. What we're actually doing, they can see without actually being.
Okay, Ms. Williams? Okay, are we in agreement that live streaming services is our third? All right, you all are doing an excellent job to keep all the other parameters in mind, time, money, and viability. How long is this going to have an impact for us? So let's keep that in mind as we position our last two, number 4 and 5. Ms. Kruger? Okay. Mr. Anderson?
I just had a comment about it. That means that the product is in place. We got it down pat. Now we can reach the community. Because before, if community came before that, we were still trying to work it out and then bring the community. So it was kind of off. But now that the product is there, the worship, the unified worship experience is there, the live streaming is in place, now we can reach out to the community because the product is complete. You know, we got a finished product.
Yeah. Did you have something?
Yeah, I guess I'm a little off. I hear what everybody is saying, but I guess I'm looking at it from another perspective. Community outreach is us going out to the community. Not so much we're trying to reach the community for them to come in to us. Community outreach is us doing things outside of the ministry, helping the community. Now that is what's going to bring them into us, not them watching our service on live stream. But now, help me if I'm just off, but that it seems like we're talking about two different things about bringing the community in. But community outreach is us reaching out, going out into the communities and doing things versus the services just bringing them into us.
Let's do this. Let's not try to work through it. Let's just complete it, and then I want to give some comments on it.
Are we in agreement?
Because this is fictitious, remember? This is, hey, this is an illustration.
All right, so as a group, raise your hand if you would like community outreach to go forth. Okay, community outreach as number 4. Okay, next, if you would like for adding more Sunday services to go as number 4. Okay, so our number 4 will be add more Sunday services, and then our number 5 will be community outreach.
Okay, good. That was an exercise. Okay, that was not, she gave the parameters at the very beginning that it's an exercise, but it's a good exercise. It was a good exercise because the experience of going through it let us all see that we have different perspectives on things. We just see things differently. So what I wanted to come out of the exercise is that you realize that your perspective is not the only perspective. Your perspective is not the only perspective. When we're teaming, it's team leadership, then you have to listen to other folk perspective. Another point I think is important, you may agree or disagree with this one, we tend to see out of our own preference, callings, areas, we tend to give more importance. It's just natural. I'm a teacher, so for me, teaching is everything. You know what I mean? So we tend to do that, but in a teaming concept, we got to be aware of the fact that sometimes we lean that way. And then thirdly, as a leader, we have to think globally. And I don't mean global in the sense of what Naomi was talking. Naomi was talking about the world and the nation. But as a leader, you have to think global. You may be in children's ministry, but as a leader in a group, you can't think just children. You may be in students' ministry, but in a group, you can't just think students. You may be in fine arts, but you can't just think fine arts. When it comes to leading an organization, leaders have to kind of come outside of their preference, outside of their department, and have to think globally. What is more critical to the organization? What is more valuable? What, like when you all were talking about leadership, I know the importance of leadership. I would have also asked the question, how long is it going to take to achieve it? How long is it going to take to achieve it? So in some cases, if we want some quick wins and we want people to see it, then leadership may be number two and the unified worship service may be number one, because that makes sense to you. So there's a different ways to see it, but we wanted you to do an exercise, and I think the exercise accomplished what we wanted to accomplish, and that we see that there are different perspectives on it. So that's important. I want to conclude. You have anything? Because I'm going to make some concluding statements. I want to conclude this. I got several things that I want to mention. Number one, the key to all of this, we meet every other Tuesday. The key to it is you applying yourself. You got to apply yourself. It's not hard if you apply yourself. It's going to be difficult if the only time you pick this thing up, this manual up, is when you come before Tuesday. If you pick it up on Monday to get here, and that's all it means to you is getting ready for this class, then it's not going to mean a whole lot to you. You gotta apply yourself. You got to practice it. Y'all, I spent a lot of time putting these lessons together. Stephanie and Melinda put time coming up with exercise. It was no joke. I spent a lot of hours doing this. So it has to mean something to you for it to really, you grow in it. And here's the truth of the matter. I know it's true. Isn't there a statement that the cream gonna rise to the top? I'm gonna know sooner or later where the cream is. True leaders rise to the top. God has given all of us an opportunity, but the leaders are gonna end up rising to the top. They really are gonna rise to the top. So I'm saying to you, you're gonna get out of it what you really put into it. But Jermaine said something to me, and he said that he was gonna take some kind of leadership course or something, and he realized that he had here what he was gonna get. Trust me, you can go out and pay some money. You can go and get leadership training, and you can pay some money, but you can get it here too. I'm intelligent too. I got as much sense as them folk down at UAB. I ain't being ugly or nothing like that, but I'm saying they ain't got more intelligence than I got. You see what I'm saying? Now, the difference is it may be packaged a little bit different and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just saying you can get some from this. I mean, you can get some from this. So you got to apply yourself. One of the big goals that second, one of the big goals that I'm wrapping up is I want to develop you to think differently. A lot of this is about thinking differently, thinking strategically, thinking through, thinking systematically, not just winging it. I mean, to really having a system of how I'm thinking. So a lot of this has to do with developing you as a thinker. Thirdly, Saturday, I'm going to have all the leaders coming in Saturday. If you're in leadership, then you're supposed to be there this coming Saturday. This Saturday, we're going to give an overview of all of it. With you, we can break it down. See, we just stopped on prioritization. We still ain't through with objectives. Saturday, we're going to go through the whole thing from objective strategy and execution. And we hadn't even taught on execution at all. But it's going to be kind of like an overview of it. The reason I'm mentioning Saturday is because the moment our vision partner leaders start hearing these concepts, they're going to hold you to a different level. I'm serious. They're going to hold you to a different level. If you come in there and you ain't talking none of this, it's going to come to us. It's going to come to me. Them folk ain't doing nothing you're saying, Pastor. So this SWOT analysis, all the stuff you're learning, it has to go down because they're going to expect it. The moment I say this is the way we're going to be thinking, they have to hear that from you in your meetings and whatever, because I'm trying to familiarize them with the concepts and the approach that we're using. So it's going to be critical that you use it in your meetings with these leaders. It's important for you to be pushing stuff down. And then finally, I want to say that I want you all to listen to the teaching that I'm doing on spiritual warfare and spiritual authority. Y'all getting anything out of that? Yes. I hope you're listening to it. And I hope you don't say, oh, I done heard that before, because there's some things I'm teaching now that I've never taught before, things that I see now that I've never seen before. Part of what I'm doing is I want believers to be conscious that they're in spiritual warfare so they can protect themselves, not give themselves over to the enemy. Secondly, I am equipping people to engage the enemy. And thirdly, I want to see people set free. So all of you need to be aware of how to minister to people. And they're going to be people that will walk through these buildings sometime. You may not be able to get to a counselor. You may not be able to get to them. You may find yourself, and you can't tell them, this is not my department. You see what I'm saying? You may have to take somebody in a room, and you may have to pray for them. If you listen to me on Sundays and Wednesdays, you'll know how to function. All of you in pastoral care, Connie and Joe and Deborah and all the pastoral care people, this is training for you. This is training for you. You've got to listen to me very carefully as an individual, but you have to listen as a minister, because people are going to start coming in and you're going to have to be able to walk them through stuff. And there are going to be times when you're going to first deal with, is this the flesh? How to approach it from a flesh standpoint. And then there are going to be times you're going to have to break the power of the enemy over for these folk. You see what I'm saying? There are going to be times when you ain't going to be able to just give them a tape and send them out your office. You're going to have to engage the enemy. And that's a part of what we're training you to do. I'm not calling you aside. I'm saying, really, if you're ministering and that's a part of your thing, get all these tapes, listen to all these tapes. It's available to you. And you'll be prepared when you start confronting this stuff. I know you already confronted some of it, but you're going to confront it on a higher level. And I don't have time to do all this stuff. See, I don't have time to do all this stuff. I have to teach. I'm trying to develop you. I can't be with somebody like that. I don't have the time to be with somebody like that. Like the lady came up to me the other day. She's having sex with spirits. Well, you know, these spirits having sex with her. Well, I'm going to send her to y'all, and y'all got to lay your hands on these folks and get these folks free. So you got to be listening to it and be alert to what's going on, because when you teach something, the Spirit of God will draw people to a place where they can get help. That's the bottom line. He's going to draw people, and then we got people already here need some help. They need some ministry. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm preparing you for that. Do you think it was a good exercise today? You think this was pretty good? Did I put a little pressure on y'all at the beginning?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You think you're going to make a difference? Okay. Y'all think y'all going to approach next Tuesday a little bit different? Whole lot different. Okay. I love y'all. And we love y'all, pastors. So good to have y'all with us today. Y'all spent a lot of time with us. Good to have you.